KQED.
News. This is special live coverage, the life and legacy of San Francisco Mayor Ed Lee. Good evening, everyone. I'm Scott Schaefer, along with Marisa Lagos from KQED's politics team. About 3 this morning at Zuckerberg San Francisco General Hospital, there was this stunning announcement from London Breed, president of the city's Board of Supervisors.
It is with profound sadness that I confirm Mayor Edwin M. Lee passed away early this morning.
It was a shock no one saw coming. Mayor Ed Lee suddenly dead at age 65. Supervisor Breed was acting mayor. For this half hour, we're going to unpack the day's events, take a look at Ed Lee's rise to power, and how his time as mayor has changed the city. Joining me here, as I mentioned, Marisa Lagos. And Marisa, it is hard to overstate the shock we all felt this morning. I found out around 3 this morning, and you, I know, found out in the wee hours as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is something, even for the friends and family who held a vigil for Mayor Lee all night at the hospital, you just saw today around the city the sort of shock on people's faces. And I think that, you know, at a time when so much is in flux in politics, and whatever you think of his politics or his style, Ed Lee has been a really sort of solid, stable force for the city for the past 6 years. And so to have, and, you know, he was not in ill health that we knew of. I mean, apparently he was shopping with his wife at Safeway on Monterey Boulevard when he collapsed. So I think that this really does come out of left field. And, you know, in a lot of ways, brings out the best in this city. I saw people who are often fighting at City Hall today, hugging and really giving each other condolences.
Yeah, big event at City Hall, 10:30 this morning. We'll talk about that in a minute. I want to play a bit of a shortcut from Ed Lee. Let's just remind people he became mayor out of the blue. In 2011, he was the city bureaucrat. He was the chief administrative officer. Gavin Newsom gets elected lieutenant governor, and he's the consensus choice of the Board of Supervisors to take that spot, ostensibly at that time, just to fill out the next 11 months. Obviously, that changed, Marisa.
Yeah, and I think that sort of flip-flop, some might say, really colored his entire time as mayor and really his relationships with a lot of people at City Hall. But as you noted, at the time of Newsom's ascension into state government, there was really a sense that he was, again, the stable figure that could bring San Francisco through the time of change and would sort of just hold things down while up to a dozen others kind of duked it out for mayor.
And I want to play a cut that sort of speaks to that sort of stability that he brought. This was a cut of Ed Lee after the very bitter, contentious 2016 presidential election. Here's a little bit of what he had to say.
We have to come together as a city, define ourselves, what we think about in terms of the people who are here, already here, the contribution of immigrants, and to say we're going to live our lives the way we've always lived it, in a very celebratory way, in a very proud way, and, you know, really support that diversity. That's what I think coming together means.
I want to bring in one of our guests this half hour. Cindy Wu is deputy director of the Chinatown Community Development Center. And Cindy, I know you worked closely with Ed Lee for many years, as does your organization. Tell us, you know, your thoughts, what went through your mind as you heard the news this morning.
Yeah, thank you. So, of course, we were all shocked this morning. Our executive director, Norman Fong, was able to be there praying with the family last night. But this morning, the rest of the staff found out. We were just so surprised. But I think immediately we thought about Mayor Ed Lee's legacy in many different ways, that he was a champion for tenants, a champion for the disenfranchised, that he really dedicated his life to service. And I think that even his time as mayor is part of that service. We thought about him as the housing mayor and also as the Chinatown mayor, thinking about the work that he's done, especially in public housing in the most recent years, and we can go more into that. And then also his belief in Chinatown as a place that should be preserved, as a place for immigrants, for low-income people to come and be able to build a life.
And long before he became mayor, when he was a young man, he had a law degree. He was represented immigrants and tenants. I mean, that was very much a part of his entry into public life, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think the public housing arc is really incredible, that he grew up in public housing himself. And then one of the first campaigns that he worked on in Chinatown was the Pingying public housing rent strike. So these tenants were fighting for better conditions at the Pings. And very unfortunately, a young woman was raped. And so they wanted safety and security. And he, when he was an attorney at Asian Law Caucus, represented them. And then as mayor, taking this federal program, RAD, the Rental Assistance Demonstration Program, and making it work for San Francisco and preserving 3,000 units across the city and making them permanently affordable housing from a community point of view.
Marisa, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's not all sunshine and flowers. There's a lot of critics of Ed Lee and his tenure as mayor. But I do think it's worth noting, as Cindy said, like, just his the arc of his career. You know, growing up in public housing, his mother was a seamstress. His father was a cook. His father died when he was 15. He was the first person in his family to go to college. He got this law degree from UC Berkeley. And he really, I think, yeah, did believe in public service. And then also just to note that he was the city's first Chinese-American mayor, first Asian-American mayor. And given the city's sort of fraught history, not just, I think, with the Chinese community, but with a lot of minority communities, it was a very big moment when he was appointed, even not knowing he would ultimately run.
And, you know, we mentioned a moment ago that there was a big event this morning at City Hall. London Breed, the acting mayor, and really the whole city family, many of the city family were there, the district attorney, the public defender, the city attorney, members of the Board of Supervisors, staff from all those folks, and, of course, Mayor Ed Lee's staff were there. And one of the people I spoke to, someone you know well, Cindy, Annie Chung, who is the CEO of an organization, longtime organization in Chinatown called Self-Help for the Elderly. And I was talking with her because I had seen her about a year and a half ago when Rose Pak, who was a dynamo in Chinatown and very close to Ed Lee, when he had died. And I asked Annie Chung to reflect on the impact of both of those people dying so close together.
Our two most impactful, most influential politicians and leaders, I would say, are gone from our community. The impact of that loss, I don't think any words could describe our feelings right now.
Cindy Wu, I'm sure that sentiment is one you heard a lot today.
Yeah, I think it was great to see Annie this morning. I think that institutions like Self-Help for the Elderly and Chinatown CDC, we hope to honor and bring forward the legacy of both Ed Lee and Rose Pak to make sure it's about service. What are the needs of community members and how are we making sure that we are making sure they are met?
Marisa?
Yeah, I mean, I think City Hall today, as you mentioned, was really just like a sea of people coming together who often fight quite
effectively.
Yes, and intensely. And one thing that really struck me was seeing how many people had worked alongside Ed Lee or under him. But a lot of these people who had worked with him as colleagues, you know, he was first appointed in 1989 to a city position, but really rose through the ranks until prior to becoming, you know, mayor. As you noted, he was the city administrator. And that's really, I think, to people that aren't from San Francisco, you know, it's basically like a city manager position. I mean, you are really responsible for a lot of the day-to-day operations of city departments and sort of the overseeing of things. And so I think it was really interesting to see folks. I talked to somebody else, Phil Ginsberg, who is the general manager of the Parks Department, about, you know, what it meant to him as somebody who had worked with Ed Lee for nearly two decades as both a colleague and then finally his boss.
You know, he was a mensch. That's, you know, and he, his mayoral style was to lead with the power of nice, you know, and you wanted to follow him. And I was just telling someone that, you know, the way he would communicate with me was by like goofy pun. And it was just charming.
And so I think you hear there, first of all, in Phil Ginsberg's voice, a lot of grief. You know, I think there people were really feeling that, but also, and you know, calling him a mensch, it's the first day of Hanukkah. That's nice. But this is something that almost every single person I talked to on all sides of the political spectrum brought up, which was Edley's sense of humor and his dad jokes and the way that he really saw
dad puns.
Yeah, his role was to bring people along. You know, he was very different than our prior two mayors, Willie Brown and Gavin Newsom. He was not in your face. He really liked, you know, he took a step back, I think, in a lot of ways from being that very strong executive and let department heads run their agencies. And I think to the public, sometimes that didn't feel like he was as much of a leader. But I think within City Hall, there was a real sense that he was.
Yeah. And Cindy, I want to ask you about that, because he was a very low key person and mayor. He was not someone like, say, a Willie Brown or a Gavin Newsom who walks into a room and everyone knows he's there. You know, he was much more low key. He didn't take himself terribly seriously or overly seriously, maybe I should say. But at the same time, sometimes there was criticism of him for that, because he wasn't as out front as he perhaps might have been.
Yeah, I think Mayor Edley was a doer. He came from being a department head, the head of DPW. He was CAO. He had started the whistleblower program. I think that all of that was about doing service for the community, but within City Hall. And so he took that into the way that he was the mayor also. And so there may have been criticism, but I think that he saw himself as a person that continued to get things done and still played that role when he was mayor.
And I think that's something that, you know, everybody has a different style. And I think that there are a lot of criticisms of maybe previous mayors, that they were all flash and not enough substance, and that they didn't let their department heads, you know, sort of do the work and get down into the nitty gritty. Sometimes Edley, you know, was sort of derided as the consensus mayor, that, you know, there was too much consensus. And I think at this point in our history, maybe that's that sounds a little foreign right now, a year into the Trump era.
One of the criticisms of Mayor Lee, Cindy, and maybe you can speak to this, is that we talked about his background. He was a tenant rights lawyer. And I think there were people who felt that as mayor, maybe he forgot some of those roots, in that he became very closely allied with the tech industry. He enabled them to grow and really boom in San Francisco, the Twitter tax cuts, which were very controversial, and in some ways were successful beyond anyone's dream of what might have happened. But there was a downside to that as well. Speak to that, Cindy, if you would, that the notion that, you know, maybe he wasn't as strong as an advocate for the middle class, the lower class, as some thought he might be.
Yeah, I think there were disagreements on specific policies. There are pressures of being mayor that probably we don't know about, you know, the types of pressures or the stakeholders that you deal with.
It's complicated being there.
Right, it always looks different from behind
exactly.
that desk.
Exactly, but I think that we felt like there were certain cases in which he was just so strong. And again, I'll point to public housing as one of them, right? Making sure that every single public housing tenant, that their unit was rehabbed, that they had the right to return 100%, making sure that nonprofit affordable housers were the ones that were rehabbing these units and taking over management. In other cities, it's been criticized as a way for privatization of public housing units. So there were days he made choices that were more in his advocacy youth or history, and days that were not. But I think that in the end, we remember him for, again, the legacy of service.
One of the things, of course, he was criticized for, as have almost every mayor since Dianne Feinstein, is the homelessness crisis. It is a very visible problem in San Francisco, especially now with the tents. And one of the things he did under pressure was to hire a homeless czar, Jeff Kaczynski, who was also at City Hall this morning. And I asked him about that, how he reacted to the criticism that he heard, no doubt, from people who felt he wasn't doing enough.
The mayor was, you know, he's the mayor of the entire city, and he cared about homeless people, and he cared about people who were housed and businesses and visitors. And I think he took each criticism that he got, whether it was people who were just concerned about seeing visible homelessness, or whether it was complaints about from advocates or people who were experiencing them homelessness himself. He took them seriously, and I think he took them personally.
And, you know, Marisa, that notion of taking it personally, you, I know, heard that from a number of people today at City Hall, including Gavin Newsom, who felt, and Cindy, jump in too, that this job was very stressful, and perhaps he was feeling that.
Yeah, I mean, I think multiple people said things to the effect of, like, he gave his life for this city. And I do think that it is a really high-stress job. And I think that, again, you know, even with a lot of the policy criticisms people can disagree on in this city, I think you do have to understand that Edley did not come to this, at least initially, as a politician. And so I think that sometimes it might be a little easier to take on all this stress and expectations when you have your eyes on the next prize, which might be something in Sacramento or elsewhere. I think for Edley, it was personal. You know, he raised his kids here. He lived in Glen Park. He was shopping at a grocery store on a Monday night. I talked to Supervisor Jeff Sheehy, who he recently appointed to the board last year. He talked about how when they met, you know, they like to go to a Tiger's coffee shop, this little Greasy Spoon in Glen Park.
And I know it well.
And Edley was famous for his, he liked greasy food. you know, he loved going to Chinatown and having big banquets. And so I think, you know, on the one hand, it really did influence the way he reacted and maybe not always in a positive way, but I think it was also what made, you know, him tick in a lot of ways. I mean, Phil Ginsberg, the general manager of Rec and Park, who we played earlier, you know, talked to me about how much Edley really loved doing things for children and how in his capacity, one of, you know, the in a way, like the meet and greets were one of the things he really relished the most, not being in front of a big group, but really going and getting in and meeting kids and families and trying to understand folks. And I do think that when you have that personal connection, it makes it more difficult.
Yeah, Cindy? I think with regard to the stress, he had the option to retire. He didn't have to go on to become the
mayor.
That's
very true.
And I think probably he weighed that when he was deciding whether or not to run. And probably for the Chinese community, it was really important for him to play that role model to become the first Asian American mayor. And so it was a choice that didn't come because he sought the limelight. It was a choice, again, because he sought to do service.
You make a good point that initially he said he would serve just 11 months, and that would have been great, you know, and he could have enjoyed a retirement or gone back to doing something else. But I'm wondering, you know, and I'll put this out to both of you, what impact do you think it did have that he changed his mind? There was a Run, Ed, Run campaign, which many saw as simply, you know, his supporters funding sort of what Barbara Boxer used to call AstroTurf as opposed to grassroots. And yet, you know, there was someone else, another Asian American member of the board, David Chu, who had been thinking of running for mayor as well. I mean, you know, how did that play out, Cindy or Marisa, in the community?
I think the Chinese community or the Asian American community was just happy to see themselves being represented. And because Edley spoke Cantonese, because he was had been in the community for so many years, I think they saw themselves in him. They saw a regular person that literally spoke the language that they spoke. They saw someone that their kids could see as a role model and say, hey, if Edley can be mayor, maybe I can be mayor one day. And so it was kind of that very tangible part of his personality, that the ability to relate to him, that made him kind of like the everyday person in Chinatown and throughout the community.
Marisa.
Yeah, I was just going to say, though, that I think within City Hall, you know, his decision to really renege on that promise not to run did burn some bridges, and I think is going to continue to have political impacts and like reverberations for many years. If you look at the situation now with acting mayor London Breed stepping in, the board now has a choice in the coming month whether or not to leave her as acting mayor and simultaneously as board president until there's an election in June. They could decide to make her interim mayor, which would force her to step down but sort of give her a little bit more power and backing, or they could appoint someone else as interim mayor. And I think that if Edley had not run for these terms and we were in the situation again for whatever reason, there might have been a push to sort of find somebody who is at the end of their career to be a caretaker. I don't think that trust is there anymore. And I think that, you know, even with how much people liked him personally, there's still a lot of anger from folks, especially among the political class, you know, because of the fact that it is so hard to run against an incumbent, and because of the fact that we have this very sort of confusing and jumbled election system, ranked choice voting, where you have a dozen candidates on the ballot at once. And, you know, almost any one of the candidates that ran against Edley could have been a mayor in another year had it not been for that incumbency that he really walked in there with.
We're also in this moment, you know, of national reckoning, you know, with sexual harassment and so many women coming forward. California also very much in the resistance to the Trump agenda. And I'm wondering, you know, I talked to somebody this morning, Christine Pelosi, actually, the congresswoman's daughter, who basically said they, whoever they are, better not try to take it away from her by giving it to someone, making someone else the interim mayor, that this will be a real, would anger women and especially women of color at this particular moment in time. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think that just as Ed Lee is the first Chinese-American mayor for San Francisco, London Breed being the first interim mayor that's African-American and a woman, I think that's really important. And it would be very hard to find six votes to say otherwise.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that at some point it's up to her really to rise to the challenge. And I think what we've seen in the very early moments of this is that she has, you know, she stood up and she was steady and strong. I also think that the board is not necessarily looking for that fight. Scott and I spoke to Aaron Peskin, who is a former head of the Board of Supervisors himself. He's sort of the de facto leader of the more progressive wing of the board right now. And he seemed to indicate that even though there is this sort of past with Ed Lee and the caretaker question, that the board is going to stand behind London Breed.
I want to bring in another guest who's just joined us. Former San Francisco Mayor Art Agnos is here. And Art, thanks for coming in. We've been talking about different aspects of Ed Lee's career. And you, as mayor, were the first person really to bring him into city government. You appointed him, I think, the city whistleblower back in 1988. What did you see in Ed Lee at that time?
Well, I got to know Ed Lee because we were both activists, as you know. I was in the state legislature for a number of years prior to becoming mayor and represented all of Chinatown in my assembly district. So I came to know Ed as the chief attorney for the Asian Law Caucus, and before I was mayor. And I was impressed with his skills, with his attitude, with his personality, and his commitment. We worked together on the Orange Land crisis when Orange Land, which was a small business in Chinatown, was threatened with eviction and all the other kinds of things that he did that impressed me. And so when I became mayor, I had made a promise to the one and only Rose Pack that we would do better than we had to date in this city in appointing Asian Americans in general and Chinese Americans in particular to political offices, commissions, and any other opportunities that arise. In that day, in 1988, there were no elected officials who were Chinese American or Asian American, for that matter, that if I remember correctly. And so we've come a long way, and probably the apex of that was the appointment of Ed Lee as mayor. But I appointed him as the whistleblower because we were interested in rooting out corruption. And I thought as a lawyer, as a community activist, as someone who had the kind of character that he had, integrity, he would be perfect, and he was.
He rose through the ranks after you left the mayor's office. He became city purchaser and then head of DPW and then chief administrative officer. He had never run for office.
No.
He'd never been an elected official. What do you make of that arc of his career?
Bottom line, Ed was not a politician. He was a very comfortable, skilled administrator. And four mayors saw that skill. I promoted him from whistleblower, which was his first job, to head of the Human Rights Commission, where he did an outstanding job. And then three other mayors after me saw the same kind of skills and attitude. He'd rather be behind the scenes than in front of it. And so I think that being mayor was a real challenge for him when it came to the outside kind of activities that mayors are often required to do.
Yeah, it's funny, Mayor Agnos, as you speak, I was thinking about when I first moved to San Francisco, he was head of DPW. And when I think of Ed Lee, that's kind of how I still think of him, in one of those like cheesy hard hats, because he loved going,
that's
you
right.
know, to those community events and really, I think not that he was actually like digging potholes, but you know, to sort of put things in a
fixing
way that he felt like he was actually making a difference. And I think that, you know, you saw that in more recent years with, again, you know, his commitment to public housing, but also things like education and other kids programs that he really did try to champion despite the ups and downs at City Hall.
One of the things we heard today, Art, is the stress of the job, and you know that. Oh, well, yeah. You were a lot younger when you were mayor. You were about 50, I think. Does it surprise you that he seemed to take things so personally, and perhaps that had...
Well, I think that Ed was a victim of the stress of the job. Anybody who's been in that job knows there's enormous stress, even in good times, because when it's not a popular or appealing subject, all of the other politicians duck, and that heat-seeking missile comes right to you in the mayor's office, and you can't duck because you are the final stop for any of these critical issues. And so when no one else wants to deal with it, you have to. And over a period of time, this accumulates. I also think that Ed, who was probably one of the most comfortable people I've ever been around, he never got mad. I never saw him blow up like you saw me do on occasion when I got a bad story in the papers or something like that. I never saw Ed or heard of Ed blowing up. Well, I think when you don't blow up somewhere, somehow, that has to reside.
Pays a
and over the period of time, I think that cumulative stress had a lot to do. I also saw him at an event where we were chatting just a couple of weeks ago, and he looked a little heavy, looked a little I said, "You staying in shape, Ed?" He says, "Nah, that's a hard thing to do in this job, as you know." So I think that the cumulative physical and emotional stress of this job could have had an impact on him.
I mean, the other thing I think to note is that, you know, Ed Lee liked, I said, to get his hands dirty. And I talked to Supervisor Hillary Ronan today, who is an aide to Supervisor Campos, who is one of Ed Lee's biggest sort of sparring partners in City Hall. And what Supervisor Ronan told me was that, you know, when she came in as an elected official, she was told, don't go to Ed Lee's staff, go to Ed Lee directly. And she said that one of the most surprising things about her short tenure so far was how well they work together. And I do think you have to look at that. You know, he kept a lot of the staff that Gavin Newsom had, even that Willie Brown had. He brought back some of the folks or you know, rose up some of the people within city government that Willie Brown had worked with. And I think sometimes some of the sort of tension between him and the more progressive left in City Hall had more to do with his staff than him personally.
We are short on time, but just quickly, each of you, Cindy and Art, you first. His legacy, what will he be remembered for?
Well, I think, first of all, he brought enormous pride to the Asian community, as I said, in general, and the Chinese-American community in particular, because he was the first Chinese-American leader. I think that his legacy also includes the positive business development of Market Street and all that's occurred down there that's revitalized that area.
Cindy, what would you add?
I think he will be remembered for his 40 years of service to Chinatown and to San Francisco. And that's about serving tenants and low-income people, but it's also just about giving everyone a chance. So his championing of women-owned businesses, minority-owned businesses, that he figured out how to make city government work for everyone.
And I think others might add to that list, bringing the Warriors to San Francisco.
Of course, his Oakland sports detriment fandom.
Yeah, that. Yes. I talked to a labor leader today at City Hall who mentioned his pushing to raise the minimum wage to $15. So there's always controversy. Legacies sometimes take a while to come into sharper focus. You know, time sometimes changes the way we think of our elected officials, whether they're local, state, or national. But I want to thank both of you for joining us on this sad day in San Francisco. You've been listening to live special coverage from KQED News, the life and legacy of San Francisco Mayor Ed Lee, who died suddenly this morning at age 65. Stay with KQED in the coming days for more on this story as it continues to unfold. And thanks again to former San Francisco Mayor Art Agnos. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome, Ted.
And also Cindy Wu, Deputy Director for Chinatown Community Development Center. Cindy, thanks so much.
Thank you.
For Marisa Lagos and all of us here at KQED, I'm Scott Schaefer. Thanks for listening.
Stay with us for Fresh Air with Terry Gross. It's coming up after another Bay Area traffic update from Julie Depish.
A big five-car pileup in Redwood City on North 101 at Woodside Road. They're still blocking the two middle lanes. Your stop back to Marsh Road. San Jose, it looks like they're getting a handle on the overturned car. North 101 before Story Road. Backup improving. It's still back to Capitol Expressway. And Bart had an equipment problem on a train inside the Transbay Tube. Recovering from that, major delay system-wide. Julie Depish for KQED.
Brought to you by the California Smokers Helpline. Support for KQED. QED comes from 1440 Multiversity, a new destination in the California Redwoods near Santa Cruz, offering weekend and five-day programs with luminaries including Alanis Morissette, Sharon Salzberg, Dr. Shefali, and more. 1440.org. You're listening to KQED FM 88.5 San Francisco and KQEI FM 89.3 North Highland South.